There's two. There's one lady at the far back. Yes, please go ahead.
I think this probably relates a little bit, but I wonder if you can expand a bit on the self that you've been describing and how that relates to others and God in the same context, if you like.
Yeah. It's an important question. The best way to answer that for you is to say the word self can either have a small case s or a capital S. The small case s is simply talking about your personality, your person, the thinking mind, literally the intellect, because most people believe, without thinking about it, that they are the thinker. That's what feels like me to most people, even though they don't know that. If you really look at it, you'll come to that conclusion. So with a lowercase s, that can be my simple everyday self. The big capital S, the self, is what we were referring to earlier, which is the experiencing power, the awareness, existence itself, present right now, experiencing your life, experiencing your self with a lowercase s. So your self with a lowercase s, the thinking person, is an experience happening rather than being the end of you. Many words could be given for the big capital self. Lots of words exist. I'm hesitating about listing them, really. There are lots of them. Let's say awareness. Let's say existence. Existence itself, wow. We don't mean things that do exist, we mean existence. Because fundamentally, if you thought about this, you would conclude this. Your most certain experience is that you exist. Now, then there are a billion thoughts about what exists, but if you don't do that, there is an absolutely evident sensation, so to speak, of existing. You would say, I exist, I am. Now, the fact you can say that is this big capital S, existence and consciousness together. One power. You might be interested to know that that's also the definition of God. God is defined in Vedanta. I said at the beginning that we can't know God. But if we want a definition, then the Upanishads give a definition. It's regarded by not only by followers of Vedanta, but by other philosophers as being perhaps the best possible definition of that intangibility of God. And it says, God is existence, consciousness, infinity. Infinite existence consciousness is what God is. Now that requires a bit of pondering upon, but there's a definition of God. And the word self with a big S is speaking about that very same power in association with your body and your mind. Because there is a body and a mind, a self with a little s, a small self, appears. You need it. Sometimes it's naive to say that the ego is something to be cancelled out. It's naive. It's not correct. It's preliminary spirituality. The ego is simply a partition of your thoughts, which is taking care of your body, your mind, and your life, is organizing your welfare, organizing your ideas. And you ask me about how does a self relate to others? Well, that little self, in an everyday sense, is what you're looking out and shaking hands and having conversations with and responding to other people. It's the everyday sense of sociability and me. So that's how the little self relates. Obviously, the big self, though, here's the thing I'm leading up to answer your question. I have answered it, but I'm going to give you a bit more of an answer. The big self with a big capital S that I've just discussed is one in everyone here. One power, one unity, one existence consciousness, one Brahman. In everyone, in the sense of being in bodies. Everyone here. So when you look at me, the consciousness looking out at you and the consciousness in you looking here at me is the very same consciousness reflecting in two separate instruments. So we are looking, the oneness of what looks out and the oneness of what looks in is the same. Now, I don't think you could have another expression of unity which is better than that. Because just consider, if that's true, just consider what it means. It means no one here is separate from you, and you are not separate from them. And therefore, it's a cliche to say we're all one, isn't it? It's a cliche, it's an easy thing to say, but that's what it means. The perceiving power, the experiencing power, the ghost within the machine, so to speak, is one ghost. Enjoying these 7 billion eyes and inspiring these 7 billion brains to interact apparently as separate agents. In an everyday sense, the interactions are apparently separate. But really, in the phenomenology of the reality, it's all one conscious, existing, non-duality.
So once we go beyond rebirth, that will be our experience, will it? Or will there not be, you know, there, in a sense, will there not be a separate experience?
Are you asking what happens after death? After the end of rebirth, yeah, is what you're asking for.
Yeah.
To answer that, I have to be honest, and everyone should be honest, because we can only answer that theoretically. I don't know. None of the saints in the 100 billion people who've lived in this world know. For certain. We have little windows onto it, don't we? But the knowledge base of spirituality, the mature knowledge base, Buddhism, Hinduism, others, says that these little selves with a small s are going through their karma, fulfilling their duties, exploring their potential, and eventually realizing the truth of what they are, just the big self, and coming to the end of the impulses in them which promoted desire and separateness. And at that point, when that body dies, there's no rebirth in a separate individual body. There is merging, or rather being, or stability in the whole. So lots of people in this room will know that, because that's the philosophy of Buddhism and Hinduism and other mystical traditions. So that's as far as we can go, truthfully, you know. That's as far as we can go. But I would like to repeat what I said earlier. I'm so certain of this. This is the reality of my life. I see it in multiple situations. It is a mistake to dwell on the eternal. It is much, much, much more valuable to dwell on what's knowable right here, right now. This is so important. It's not said enough. It's very tempting and interesting and, you know, inspiring to talk about the end of the cycle and the end of the universe and nirvana and moksha, and it's inspiring to talk about. But they are ideas. So let's really focus on what's knowable here and now. Then, in faith, let's see what happens. What do you think?
Great.